Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's quarter number three, the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. The gyms may not be full, but there's definitely no shortage of madness in this college basketball season. For us fans, the college basketball powers have gifted us with a top-tier matchup between two powerhouses this weekend. Gonzaga and Baylor will go at it for the nation's top ranking. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is bringing you closer to the action with this can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all college basketball fans who sign up now the chance to win $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win this clash of titans. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up for your shot to turn $1 into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win. That's right. Bet a dollar, win $100. Use promo code KSN during sign up to take advantage of this great offer for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Jim, he's Dustin. Dustin, we spent quite a bit of time the first two segments talking mostly offense. Let's talk about this defense a bit. Held Michigan to 17 points. Not too bad, right?
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty sound showing from them. I thought there were cases where too much running room on the long run early in the game. For example, Lamont Wade was broken out one-on-one open field, had a chance to make that tackle, probably what, 14, 15 yards downfield. It turned into 61. So you can nitpick it. Obviously you can lay a lot of the burden at the feet of this Michigan offense too, but I think you take victories wherever you can get them. And I think holding Michigan, what was it, 55 plays, 286 yards, you win the total yardage battle by 131 yards, you run 24 more plays. I mean, this was a pretty sound victory on both sides of the ball. And I think getting too carried away with, little pieces of criticism here or there is kind of missing the point. I thought this was a pretty good, sound defensive effort. Wasn't a dominant effort, wasn't a very good offense, wasn't a very coordinated offense. You had their quarterback who gave them that juice the week before when they beat Rutgers, have a shoulder issue, and so that was kind of part of it too. But, you know, they played well enough to win, Jim. I'm not sure how many offenses across the Big Ten that this defense would have held, but this particular one they did.
When you're 0-5, you'll take the win over anybody. And because this is our show and we will always look at the glass half empty, let's talk about some of the mistakes. Those offsides, oh my goodness. Jason Owe twice, Shaka Tony once. If it happens one time, you say, okay, I get it. Multiple times, though. Come on, you got to learn your lesson, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, Michigan was obviously doing the clapping to get their communication across, and these guys weren't. They were, I guess you can probably say they were a little too keyed up to try to read that and to try to get off and try to get around the edge. You know, especially later in the game, you know, when it hadn't really paid dividends, their ability to pressure. So. I don't think there's a good reason for it. And they came in situations where it could have made things so much worse, where you're, you have some 3rd and 10 to a 3rd and 5, you just had key situations in this game where, you know, the way that you're controlling the game and the way that Michigan is playing, the way that they're not really a quick strike offense, just avoid making the mistake first and then get off the line of scrimmage as fast as you can by looking at the ball. You're talking about basic stuff, I think, for defensive linemen. They were just a little too keyed up to try to make a play and try to get to the quarterback. And that's, you know, that can be what happens when you're too keyed up.
And when you're those defensive ends who depend on their quickness, you know they're amped up. You know they want to get that first step so quickly. And as Mike Golic said, after that happened multiple times, it's like, you know what? Be a step slow, but just don't go off sides.
I think that's exactly it. Get the routine start, and you know your special guys. You don't need necessarily to anticipate the snap to potentially get involved in this play. So do the right thing first and then rely on your quickness to try to get the edge anyway. You're capable of doing it.
And you mentioned the ability or lack of ability at quarterback position for Michigan. Boy, that really is a bad team, by the way. And wasn't it interesting? You had bad quarterback play. They had short yardage issues. They had missed tackle issues. It felt like I was watching Penn State from the first five games.
I was watching this game with that in mind. Okay, we've got two teams that are struggling right now. You've got a Penn State team that I think the talent is clear. The talent, I don't think anybody's really doubted the raw ability of these players. Just for some reason, there wasn't a connection. There wasn't a lot of energy. And I think maybe the way the season played out played a part in that and all that. But you're trying to figure out, okay, why? Like, I still don't really know why or how they've been so sluggish and so far short of their ability. And then on the other side, I thought the same thing. They're a little bit sloppy. They don't have a lot of enthusiasm. But I didn't see, you know, and I could be wrong, but I didn't see nearly as much talent. Like who are the difference makers or the potential difference makers on the Michigan side of the ball? They've recruited pretty well. They recruited basically in the same neighborhood as Penn State. So I don't know. I just don't know what's going on, whether there's a development thing. Maybe it's more youth than I realize, guys who weren't ready for these opportunities, kind of like Penn State. But I didn't see a lot of salvation on the immediate horizon for Michigan. I felt like there was more, and obviously it helps that Penn State won this game, but I saw more upside quicker for the Penn State program than I did for Michigan. Like, what is Michigan going to do here? I don't know. Who are the guys that are going to be stars? I didn't really see any.
Well, and the other part to this, which I thought was so important to Penn State's 0-5 start, was the play at quarterback. Now, we saw this weekend what Sean Clifford could be. Maybe you want to call him a game manager, which isn't the highest praise for a quarterback, but at least there's something there. On Michigan's side of the ball, boy, I didn't see anything among those quarterbacks, the two quarterbacks that played, that just screamed, this is the guy who's going to lead us to the promised land. And I wondered this with Penn State too. When you have a quarterback not playing well, it's hard for the rest of the team to look good. All of a sudden, those missed tackles become a bigger issue.
Everything becomes more glaring at that point. And I mean, a couple things in that regard. So at quarterback for Penn State, yeah, Sean Clifford, I felt like was keeping it simple. That seemed like a really concerted effort from the coaching staff. Keep it simple. Let's let him make the plays in front of him. But I think to his credit, he executed that role very, very well. Now, there's nothing that says he's stuck in that role forever, right? Like, I think he gets his legs under him. Once he can, if you're making positive plays, it makes the big play more accessible. I mean, for a lot of reasons, if you're making consistently the positive play, you're moving the chains, you're staying on schedule as an offense, you're keeping the run game alive as an option that the defense has to respect. It brings play action to the table, brings a lot of stuff to the table. If you're consistently making these throws underneath, the defense starts to key on that. Maybe you're getting the safeties moving a step closer to the line of scrimmage. It opens things up. You didn't see that, but it's playing an executing the simple stuff makes a lot more available to you later. Like I said, you didn't see a ton of it in this game, but if Sean Clifford goes out against Rutgers and does the same thing early, then you open it up that where some shots down the field become possible. And maybe Sean Clifford's a little bit more confident as a result to try to deliver that ball. This was, I you know, what I would hope is a first step towards something more once again for Sean Clifford. On the Michigan side, Cade McNamara, you saw with Will Levis, the difficulty going from the change of pace we brought off the bench to being the guy who gets all the number one reps, is your starter for that week, is the guy who comes out on that first series of the game. And, you know, sometimes that energy doesn't translate. It didn't translate for Will Levis earlier this year. It didn't translate for Cade McNamara early in this game. Who knows? I mean, he gets that shoulder issue and he wasn't the same guy beyond that, but I'm not sure either way he would have been the savior in this particular game. That's the challenge for him in Michigan now, is to try to figure out, they're in the same spot Penn State's been in. Okay, we had a guy who gave us some juice against Rutgers. Is he capable of doing that for four quarters? Is he capable of being the guy? He's a redshirt freshman, so maybe not yet, but maybe in the future. Not a good scene for them at quarterback. And like I said, I think for Penn State, it's a first step maybe for Sean Clifford to get some of that, to get some of that, those good vibes back, and to start playing better and to open some bigger things up for him.
I did want to ask you about one last thing, and this wouldn't be Penn State, Michigan, unless we had some kind of controversial officiating. The play, Penn State gets the sack of the quarterback. He fumbles. Shaka Toney makes a tremendous play, keeping the ball from going out of bounds. He bats it back inbounds. Jason Owe picks it up, and then the officials intervene. What'd you think of the call?
It seemed to me like the rule book, if you're reading it by the letter of the law, that is not a legal play. And if that's my read of it, I don't understand why. I understand, like,
well,
go ahead.
I just want to say my reading of the rule book, it sounded like it says batting the ball forward. Those of us old enough to remember the Raiders from years ago, you know, fourth down, you're trying to make the first down, you don't. So you kind of bat the ball forward to your advantage.
Right.
This, I thought the rule book says batting it the ball forward. I don't think he batted the ball forward. At the very least, it was questionable.
I think that's a good read on it. And that's what I was about to drive at, is that the what you're trying to prevent is not what was prevented on this occasion. Having a guy be able to make a play like that, a headsy play on the sideline to keep the ball alive for your teammates, to call that illegal and have it be a potential pivotal point in this game. I just don't get it. It's either the wrong reading of the rule or the wrong rule. Either way, to me, it was just flat out wrong to not reward a guy for a play like that.
Exactly. I thought it was an awful call. I thought it was a tremendous reach by the officials to make that call, and it was awful. All right, that's it. Quarter number three. Quarter number four, we're going to start looking forward. Stay tuned.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up for your shot to turn $1 into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win. That's code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.